For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 21. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 21. These words are recorded. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Read for you hearing from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 21 through and including verse 26. May the Lord to continue to add a blessing through his holy word.
Amen.
From these verses of scripture, we would like to use for a subject, trouble is in your way.
Well, all right.
Trouble is in your way. I wonder if you have ever avoided taking your car to the mechanic out of fear of what he might find wrong with it. Perhaps you're one who may have avoided going to the doctor for fear of what he or she might tell you. Perhaps you've avoided having a serious and important conversation with your spouse or your parents or your child because you were afraid of what might happen during that conversation. You see, like most folk, we don't like to get bad news. Generally, we avoid confrontation if at all possible. We try to avoid conflict because who wants to feel bad and bring misery or stress into their life seemingly needlessly? And yet finding out things wrong with the car and getting it fixed is part of owning a car. Finding out bad news about our health before it's too late is a prudent and necessary part of taking care of oneself. And of course, having difficult but loving conversations with those who are closest to us is sometimes unenjoyable, but is a necessary part of maintaining our relationships and keeping them healthy. So you see in our text, Jesus tells us, broadly speaking, trouble will come. And it is in your way if you're going to be his disciple. You see, if we doubt that or want to avoid that, we only need to look to what Jesus was going to endure for proof that trouble is in your way. You see, in fact, Jesus is warning us here can help us deal with it when it arrives, because it is he that assures us that trouble is going to come. As it was Jesus' mission, so it is our reality also. You see, in our text, we're about 6 months away from Jesus' arrest, his trial and death and resurrection. Because the time is drawing near, Jesus is trying to get his disciples ready for what is to come. You see, in earlier verses, we heard Jesus ask his disciples who others and who they say that he is. Peter's bold confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was so on point for Jesus that he assured his disciples that he would build his church on that confession. He went on to say that nothing, not even hell itself, would be able to overcome that truth. But at the same time, Jesus shifted his tone drastically. Matthew says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. You see, he jumps from the joy and confidence of a bulletproof church to the announcement that he would soon have to suffer and die at the hands of the religious and political leaders. You see, Peter is understandably disturbed by all of this. He pulls the Lord aside, away from the rest of the disciples, and has the audacity to reprimand the Lord. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus' reaction is harsh and swift. He doesn't take time to explain why this was necessary. He doesn't seem to be himself at the moment. He simply said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said to Peter, that's what he told him. And the question is, why would Jesus have been so strict with Peter, especially when we so often see him being patient with the sometimes slow to understand disciples, and especially big-headed Peter? Think of what Peter just said. He said, "No, Jesus, you will not go to the cross." He said, "You won't have to suffer those things. You don't have to die." You see, to Jesus' human nature, that would have been music to his ears. But we saw him pleading with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane to take this cup of suffering away from me so that he wouldn't have to endure it. But in the garden, God's will ultimately had to be done. Now Peter may have been concerned for the Lord, but he was missing the bigger picture. You see, Jesus wasn't just going to go to his death because he felt like it or he wanted to be a martyr. He was going to his death because everyone, Peter, you and me included, needed him to die. Yeah, you see, we owed a debt we could not pay. Jesus was the only one who could pay it for us. Jesus had said that he must go to his death. And that was true. There were no other options. If Jesus didn't follow through, all of us were doomed to hell. You see, the suffering of Jesus meant our salvation. His death was for our lives. God's will is that we be saved. Thus, Jesus urged Peter to think of godly things, not human things. The words of Jesus following his rebuke of Peter seemed to back up that notion. Jesus had promised that the gates of hell would not be able to overcome the church at large, that nothing Satan could do could change the fact that he was in fact God's son, our Savior. But that steadfastness of the message didn't mean that the messengers would make it through unscathed. The disciples would go through unimaginable trials for the sake of the gospel. They would, as Peter might have feared, have to endure physical sufferings, not unlike what Jesus is going to go through. Being a follower in the early first century was not a pleasant task most of the time. And in many ways, being a disciple hasn't changed all that much in terms of the crosses that we must bear. Here in this country, we are typically shielded from much physical harm for our faith, but that's not true elsewhere in the world. We must continue to pray for our fellow disciples who suffer at the hands of the enemies of the cross of Christ because they dare to put their trust in God's Son, Jesus the Christ. We must pray that they too stay strong, even in the face of death, knowing that heaven waits for them because Jesus was willing to suffer and die to pay for our sins. Just because he was raised, they too will be raised. In this country, though, we have a different problem. We have a plague of the kind of thinking that's focused on human things and not God's things. Amongst many so-called churches of Christ, we have some who follow the task or the path of proclaiming a Christianity free from hardship. They state that if you believe hard enough, have a strong enough faith, you can be free from trouble. Well, physical health will be robust. They say financial health will be solid. They tell you you'll be happy if you just believe in Jesus, because that is what Jesus wants, or so they tell you. Well, what does Jesus actually say? He said, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He said, for whosoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for me will find it. Say, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, what part of that sounds like this life is going to be free from trouble and worry? You see, my Jesus assures me of exactly the opposite of what these preachers would have us to believe. Surely it's an appealing thought to be free from trouble. But early when you wake up in the morning, you'll see there's some trouble in your way. Some of us, when you get to the age of, you find that there's a struggle sometimes climbing out of that bed. Some of us find out when we get to the table and bite down on something, we forgot that there was something we forgot to put in before we started to chew. But you see, trouble is going to be in your way. See, we're going to face trouble because we live in a world of sin. We will face hardships sometimes because of our faith. But what do we do when trouble comes knocking at our door? Or sometimes even knocks us down? Do we run and hide? And then begin to grumble that this should not happen to me? No. In Christ, we ought to embrace it, knowing that God has a reason to allow it to happen to us in our lives. Knowing there's a reason doesn't make it pleasant, doesn't make it easy, doesn't make it something that we easily rejoice in, but it is one of the ways that God helps us to focus on his things and not our things. When our finances are in a free fall, when our health is failing, when our friends betray us, when our work or school seems to bring nothing but failure, the gold is not to hide under a rock. The gold is to take refuge in our Savior, who endured all evil for each of us and come out on the other side victorious. Jesus died. Yes, he did. But he didn't stay dead. He accomplished the most amazing part of his stated mission when on the third day he was raised to life. You see, our goals, our rewards, and joys are not here. They're waiting for us with him in heaven. And when every earthly support crumbles, we are forced to not dwell on the temporary things that mankind values, but on the eternal things that God has planned for each of us. Every bit of cowardice that we've ever displayed, every bit of whining we've ever done when things were difficult, every time we perhaps even like Peter called God out and said that his plans were bad, wrong, and all of that is forgiven from us. And because it's forgiven, we can be certain that we will live like he lives in heaven. For it's in heaven that's where our life of unending joy will come. You see, that's where the end of our worries and concerns will be. That's where we'll be able to finally put down that cross of trial and hardships, and then we'll be able to rest and rejoice with God's Son forever. Until then, trouble is going to be a part of our lives as disciples. Give thanks for the times it does not weigh you down completely. And if it does, find comfort in your Savior. Support one another in Christian love and encourage each other that we might help each other carry those crosses and shoulder these burdens. Know that in everything that happens, God will work it to our good. Trouble is here, trouble is here now, but it is only temporary. Eternity will come, but eternity does not have any trouble. Be reminded that we did not have to take that journey up to that hill called Calvary. He did it for us. We did not have to allow soldiers to nail nails into our hands or spike through our feet. He did it for us. We did not have to have that thorny crown pressed down upon our head. He did that for us. We did not have to have a spear pressed into our sides. We did not have to make provisions for our mother while hanging on that cross. No, we did not have to die on that cross and give up the ghost. You see, none of us had to lie in a borrowed tomb until early that Sunday morning, over 2,000 years ago, when God the Father raised him up from that tomb and gave each of us a right to the tree of life once again. No one of us had to go through that. But Jesus did, and I thank God that he did. He lived, died, was buried, and I praise God he rose again and gave us the right to the tree of life once again. When trouble comes, look to the one who will get you to the other side, victorious. Trouble in your way. May God bless you. Amen. Amen.